Good morning. Welcome, welcome to church today. Thank you for those, especially in the country, making the extra effort of whatever it might have taken for you to be here. And on a cold morning, but we have vehicles that run well for the most part. I had a dear church member help jump the pickup for me yesterday, but we have warm vehicles and a warm building, and praise the Lord, we are here in His presence, so glad to see you all. Some announcements, of course, that I need to go over. The women of the church were to have their annual business meeting today after service. That's been moved to February 2nd, 2 weeks from today, so please be aware of that. Our annual meeting of our, the annual meeting of our local church, how about that? See, I haven't had a Sunday school out to get myself warmed up, you know. That will be next Sunday, God willing, weather permitting. We will have lunch right after church. It's going to be pork loin sandwiches, which is always delicious, dairy bar potato salad. So everybody, of course, is invited to that. We'll start the annual meeting at 1 o'clock, and we do have to wait till 1 o'clock to start it, so because that's how it's announced. On that note, I will once again mention the nominations to the consistory that we will be voting on. These are nominations from the consistory, but as it says in the bulletin, nominations can come from the floor. So Steve Pressler is being nominated as elder, first term, and that will be to take the place of Brian Gehring, who's finishing his second term as elder. Steve Huber has been nominated to begin his second term as deacon, as well as Mark Anderson nominated to serve his second term as deacon. So that will be next Sunday. Oh, I thought that was me for a second. Sounded like it's right here. All right. Today, the women's Bible study, that next one is going to be the faithful. You see it in the bulletin, but I just want to make sure if you know today you need to sign up to order workbooks so they can order your workbooks, all right? So please do that. Today is the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, which we celebrate every year. Some years we have a speaker. Today we don't, but it is a very important day, and we need to realize in the insert of your bulletin, I had got a mailing this recently on this from Answers in Genesis, which is who we use our Sunday school material from, and I just was shocked as I read that. I'm going to read it here. It says, what was the leading cause of death in 2019 in 1 year worldwide? If you ask someone on the street, they are likely to point to things like cancer, heart disease, malaria, HIV or AIDS, or gun violence. Did you know that the major physical cause of death is completely preventable? The lives of 42.4 million people were lost last year because of abortion. That's worldwide. It's incredible. Now, as I'm saying this, we might know people who've gone through this. So this is not about condemnation. There is God's forgiveness. But we need to be praying about this in our nation, that this could be turned around. At times, you know, if Ann and I will watch a movie back in World War II, and it just baffles my mind that Nazi Germany could do what they did to obliterate millions of Jewish people just because of their race. When I see that, and I often think, and what will it be when down the road we look back on our nation, the last 40 years of how many millions have lost lives because of this? So we pray, and we support the Alpha Center and their work. There is an offering plate at the back. If you desire to give to their work, that's a separate offering totally. So just please be aware of that. The other thing I want to mention is some of the flowers. The two bouquets. Let's see, there's three up there. So the first two on my right are in memory of Lois Sattler. That is Jim Sattler's mother. Her funeral was this last Monday. These arrangements all on this side were given in memory of Belva Heckenleibel. Her funeral was this last Tuesday. So thank you to the families for sharing those with us, and we certainly continue to pray for all of you during this time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we just sang that chorus and the words so beautiful, and as we stood in your presence, we stand in awe. We stand in awe of you. You are our God and our Father. You are a holy God, and you are righteous and true and just in all of your ways. And we thank you for this beautiful place where we can gather. We thank you for the heat that warms it so well, and our homes and our cars, as I have mentioned, in these bitter cold temperatures. Lord, we're here. We make extra effort, whatever it was, to be here this morning because we love you with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. And so thank you as we're gathered for filling this place with your glory and your power and your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our opening hymn will be "Come Christians Join to Sing." Let's stand together as we sing this. It's on page 225 in your hymnal if you want to use that. 225. Sharing of joys and concerns here. Several things I have written down. Today, I know they're not here, but Eugene and Lorene Weidenbach, today is her 93rd birthday. So think about sending her a card. I'm sure she would enjoy that. That's Lorene Weidenbach. An update on Lee Palmerville. He had a pretty tough couple weeks here. I talked to Pat this morning. He's doing a little bit better. They've adjusted some meds, but they were not able to make it up to this morning. So continue prayers for them. Also, little Oliver Wade, the newborn, he has just been struggling with the bilirubin levels. It go up, and he did have to go back in the hospital and came home, and then they did send him home with a Billy Rubin blanket. So I think things are going better now for him. Let's see. Prayers for Milton Handel. He's in the hospital in Mitchell. Just, I don't know, lots of things going on there. So he's just, I guess, stable. He is not on hospice or anything like that. He does sleep most of the time. I saw him Thursday morning and had a good visit with him. So just prayers for the family and certainly for Milton. You probably are aware Elmer Zabe's funeral memorial service that was supposed to be yesterday morning has been moved to this afternoon at 2 o'clock, right here, visitation an hour before. So thank you. And I want to say thanks to the ladies for your help through all this, the lunches and that. It's a wonderful, wonderful blessing to the families during these times. So to all who serve, thank you. Maybe the men need to clap here, okay? Yes. And there are some men that help, too, with dishes in the kitchen. So that's always available, just so you know. Then Lynette Muchmore. A lot of you know her, Jim and Lynette. They live in Parkston. Lynette's parents were Leonard and Wilma Hare from this congregation. So Lynette had passed this last, I just lose track here, but I think it maybe was Tuesday morning. Anyway, her visitation will be at the Parkston Congregational Church this evening from 5 to 7 with a prayer service at 7. The funeral is tomorrow morning up there, same church at 10:30, which I will be doing the service there, as they are without a pastor right now. So I think that's all my notes. Anything else? Kaylee Derby. Okay. Krista Derby, happy 39th birthday yesterday. We'll try to remember what next year's is when it comes around. 39 and holding. Okay, anybody on this side here? Brian? I thank you, Brian. I appreciate that. Brian's asking for prayers, and I appreciate all of your prayers, and I do feel them and the extra strength and through this time. So thank you. And I forgot to mention Norma Kirschman. Goodness, is that what you were going to tell me?
Well, it's Kathy's birthday tomorrow, too.
Oh, okay. We'll get to... Yeah, Norma Kirschman passed on...
Tuesday.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. You know, how neat it was. Norma was here, it was December 22nd in church. And if you saw her, you know, her face was just beaming with joy. And so how neat she got to do that. So her service is this coming Saturday, the 25th of January at 1:30 in the afternoon, right? And Kathy Stepanek's birthday is tomorrow. Happy birthday, Kathy. I'm not going to say that. She's trying to get you in trouble. Okay, anything else?
I would like a request for a prayer for my niece's husband, Eric Buckenberg. He is in Rochester, down to experimental therapies now.
Okay, does he have cancer? Or?
Yes, he's had stem cell treatments and stuff. But
okay.
He's in Rochester right now.
Okay, all right. This is prayers for Rita Hoff's niece's husband, Eric Buckenberg, who has had cancer, fighting it for some time, I'm guessing, and now they're doing experimental treatments at Mayo. Okay, all right, we will pray. Okay, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the sunshine. It just seems like it should be so nice outside with it shining in our windows so brightly. And we praise you for your goodness. Be with the livestock, Lord, especially through these frigid temperatures, and the farmers as they have to work out there in these conditions to feed the livestock and try and start their tractors and all that goes on with that, Lord. Keep them safe, we pray as well, Lord. And the county workers on the roads and the state workers on the highways and the first responders, our firemen and EMTs, as they get called out in all kinds of conditions and just all that have to travel. We ask you to give your angels charge over all of these people, Lord, in Jesus' name. We pray for Jerome and Rita's niece's husband, Eric. You know him, Lord. You know him very well up there in Rochester. Father, we lift him up to you as they're trying different things, experimental things, and it sounds like he's been through a lot. And I thank you for just being with him and his wife and children, I suppose, may be involved. And Lord, that you carry them on eagle's wings, as you said in Exodus 19, how you brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. You carried them on eagle's wings. And I pray that for them. I pray the same, Lord, for these families who have lost loved ones. Even though, Lord, we know, as Paul said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And Paul said heaven is better by far, and we know that. But Lord, we still need the comfort of your Spirit as we grieve the loss of these that we love so much. So thank you for comforting the families during this time, Lord. And those, yeah, today's service, tomorrow's service, Saturday's service. And Lord, where would we be without you? We can't even begin to imagine. We pray, Father, for Lee and Pat Palmerville. Some big health issues going on there in Lee's life, and we just lift them up to you and ask for your strength, for your healing touch to his physical body, Lord, during this time. Thank you for little Oliver Wade, that he's leveled out there, the newborn on his bilirubin levels, and thank you for being with Zachary and Caitlin. And Lord, all of our newborns, we have several right now in the church. Thank you for just watching over them in your care and holding them in your everlasting arms. Lord, I want to lift up, there's an unknown, unspoken, I'll say it that way, procedure coming up this week for an individual, and you know what it involves, and we just pray for healing there to that one as well, in Jesus' name. Father, for our nation, we pray every day, asking for a revival to this land, asking for an outpouring of your Spirit, as we call it, a great awakening. Lord, I read about those over the past 200 and what years of our history. There have been a couple major ones, and you have done it. And we need that so desperately again, to turn the hearts of this nation back to you. Father, regarding the lives of the unborn, forgive us. Forgive our nation of that sin, Lord. We try to do what we can, Father, through prayer and through support of these ministries that provide options and alternatives and that speak, Lord, in peer and various places, and give them wisdom. We just pray for our president and vice president, our congressmen and women, Lord, our Supreme Court justices, Father. Let their hearts be all turned towards you. We thank you for this nation in which we live. Truly, we are blessed, and we know that. And we know it is you who are the reason for all of these blessings. Be with our troops, serving here at home and around the world. Keep them safe in very tense, difficult times, Father, we pray. Thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalm 37, verse 25 and 26 says, I was young and now I'm old, Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their children out begging for bread. They are always generous and lend freely, and their children will also be blessed. So we'll receive our offering this morning. And thanks again for your prayers. Thank you, Brian, for that. Okay. Father, we are so grateful for your salvation to us. Think of those words, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that you saved a wretch like each one of us. It's what we were without you, and that our chains are gone, we've been set free. How incredible. Set free by the power of the Spirit of the living God to live for you and to serve you. Bring our offerings, our tithes here before your throne with joy in our hearts. And so we do. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing these, for multiplying these gifts many times over. And thank you, Lord, for watching over every family and home represented here in their livelihood and those that are not able to be here this morning. As we keep our eyes on you and serve you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name. And Father, we confess our faith together now through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If the children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone here today. Well, this morning, I want to play a little game with you. I bought three items from the store, and I want you to tell me which one you think is the most expensive. So I'm going to show you what they are first. Here we have a nice dot-to-dot coloring book. It's got the fun numbers, right? We like those, don't we? Then we have Valentine's coming up, so look at these flashy stickers. Hard stickers, you think that one is? Okay. Then, while we're thinking that summer will be coming sometime, hopefully, soon, here we have a water bomb slingshot. So, I'm going to hold them up, and you raise your hand if you think, which one you think is the most expensive. Okay, dot-to-dot book. Who thinks that's the most expensive? How about our anyone back there? Nope. How about our hearts? Our fun heart stickers. One, that's okay. Anybody back there thinks that this is two, the most expensive? I can't see back there. How about our slingshot? Oh boy, everybody thinks that's the most expensive. Come on, you guys, participate. There's a few. Well, I'm going to tell you in a few seconds who was right on that. But you know that there are many, many, many people in our country who look at people the same way that we just looked at these toys. We wanted to see which one was the most valuable, which one we paid the most for. Some people think that one person's life is more valuable than another. Some people will say that, like this little baby who's in its mother's womb still, this little baby is like 10 to 12 weeks old. So when your mommy is this much pregnant, look at that baby. Do you see its head? What else do you see? His feet, his hands, his nose, his mouth, his body, his eyes that are closed, right? Just 10 to 12 weeks old. Wow. So some people think that this little baby inside the mommy's tummy isn't valuable until he or she is born. That's crazy, right? That's crazy. And some people think that the older we get, our very elderly people, they think, too, that they may not be valuable. That's not true, is it? That is not true. That's not true. So, you know what the answer to this is? They're all the same price. All of these cost $1 each. They're the same, right? And that's how God looks at us. Whether we're still in our mom's stomach or whether we are very old, and God wants everyone to be in heaven one day. He loves us all. He loves every single one of us, no matter how old we are. In Psalms 139:14, it says, I praise you, God, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. All of us, we're all important. He sees us all as valuable, so we should see life as valuable also. He loves us all the same. Do you know why I know that? Why do I know that? Because what? What do we always look to? The Word of God tells us. John 3:16, you guys say it with me that know it. Ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in him shall have perish but have everlasting life. Oh, we have different versions. But God's loved everybody, right? Everybody is valued the same. I know that also because it says in the Bible that even God knows how many hairs we have on our head, right? Now, I have a little less hairs because I got my hair cut the other day. So I have a few less hairs, but he knows how many I have. He created us. He formed us. He knows when we sit down and when we stand up. Isn't that amazing? He knows what you're going to say and what I'm going to say before we even say it. Not even your parents know that, right? Right, that is our God, and we praise him and we loved him. So we do the best we can to protect life, no matter what stage it's in, right? All right, let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you that your word tells us how valuable we are to you. And we thank you that you help us and empower us to value all people, to value the older ones, to value the ones that are still in the mom's stomach, Lord. Help us to be advocates for pro-life, Lord. Help these little children to tell others that don't know you how much you love them and how much you sent your son Jesus to die for them and how you want to see them one day in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, next Sunday when you come, I'm going to give you all a little, maybe you got one of these a couple years ago or last year, a little baby, but next week we have to get some more, okay? We didn't get enough, and we'll talk about that next week. So you can get your papers.
Thank you, Anne. We're going to sing number 217. 217, this is Holy Ground. Bow our heads, please, once more. Thank you, Father, that yes, in your presence, your manifested presence is holy ground. As you told the men of old, take off your shoes, for the place you are standing is holy ground. And thank you for our hands and our lives, that as you live in us, you work through us to minister to other people. With holy hands, holy words that come out of our lips. Thank you for your word that tells us about all of these things, Lord Jesus. I ask that you'd speak through me today to those gathered here, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to be back in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We were there last Sunday. I wanted to continue on with the who we are in Christ as we've been working at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all. And therefore, all died. Let me just say that phrase there. You might think, what? One died for all, of course, that's Jesus. When he says, and therefore all died, he's talking about us as believers, okay? Believers in Christ. We had to die to ourselves, die to the flesh as we received Christ. I just wanted to throw that in because that's not part of my message, okay? Verse 15. And he, Jesus, died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, here's our first one. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he, God, has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. In other words, get saved, right? 21, God, here's our second in Christ reality. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. So, here we are, working through this. You have a Philemon, verse 6. There's only one chapter in Philemon. I put it in there this week from the Amplified Bible. You can read that along with me. It's on your outline. Paul says, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective and powerful because of your accurate knowledge of every good thing which is ours in Christ. He's praying that we would know that, understand it. And as we do, guess what? When we grow in our understanding of who we are in Christ, we want others to know that. We want others to know about Jesus so that they can walk in those blessings as well. So the first one that we looked at last week is a new creation in Christ. Verse 17, what we just read. Therefore, if, see there's the if, it's not just an automatic. We aren't born in Christ when we're born into this world, right? We know this. We are born spiritually dead, separated from the life of God, separated from his presence because of that sin nature. So he's saying, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and I showed you that the last two Sundays, as we invite Christ into our heart to be our Lord and Savior, I had that cup, poured the water in it, that's our salvation, this being God. And as we receive Christ, then guess what? We are placed in him, and we live in him. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And where does the change take place of the new creation? In our spirit being. Right here. Why do you say here? Why not here? Why not in the leg or whatever? I say it because in John's gospel, it's probably chapter 7, one of the places where Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit's work. And he said, meaning to us as believers, that out of your belly, where's your belly? Some of our bellies are bigger than others, right? Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And he said, and this I speak about the Holy Spirit of God. So this is sort of the center of our being. That's why I say the new creation takes place right here. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. I am a spirit being. I have a soul. That's my mind, my will, and emotions that God gave us. And I live in a body. And when our time comes and we draw that final breath, the body is left behind. Our spirit and our soul go to be with our Father in heaven if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation right here, inside. Nothing changes in the body. Yeah, there's a slight change in the mind, and that's always a work in progress as we renew our mind. Okay? And in verse 18, it says, all this is from God. He did it for us. We didn't do anything to deserve it or earn it or work our way to get it. It's by faith, simply by faith. This is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. I said last Sunday, just pretend that the balcony is heaven and this would be earth, and there's this great chasm between heaven and earth that is so deep we could never cross it. Man couldn't when we were separated because of the sin of Adam and Eve. Couldn't cross it. But Jesus came. He hung on the cross. And then you just picture a cross with the arms this way, reaching to heaven, to earth, and we come through Jesus to get to the Father, right? That's reconciliation. He removed the barrier and put a way for us to get there. And then he gave us that ministry of reconciliation to tell others about it. So let's get to the second point today. Okay? So he said, by the way, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. An ambassador is a representative, right? We have our ambassadors all around the world that represent the government and the country of the United States of America. And they go and live there. And the example that they show and present is very important. And guess what? If we are in Christ, we are his representatives on this planet. That's a pretty big responsibility, isn't it? It is. How are we representing him? And we need to think about that and pray about that. Second one. So second, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Verse 21. God made him, that's Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin. That's the cross. When he became sin, he took all of the sin of mankind upon himself. The judgment of God, the wrath of God poured out upon him. That's why one of the statements that Jesus cried out on the cross early on in that 6 hours that he hung there, one of the early statements was, my God, why have you forsaken me? Remember? He never knew sin, never experienced sin. Yes, temptation, yes, but sin, no. And for the very first time, he was bearing all the weight of the sin of mankind upon himself. It's hard to comprehend, isn't it? But he did it. And that's why he cried out. He never knew what it was to be separated from the presence of the Father. Did he cease to be God at that moment when he became sin? No, he was always fully God, fully man. But he called out in that. So that in him, verse 21, we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Now it says the word might there, okay? How we use that word today, like well, if somebody invites you, maybe you invited someone to church, let's say it that way, this week. Well, I might be there. I might be there, okay? Just depends. If nothing else comes up in the way, I might be there. That's how we use that word a lot today, right? Anyway, they're trying to, basically, what are they saying? Probably not, but I just don't want to tell it to you that way. No, this word, that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become, where he's not using the word might in that way, okay? You might be thinking, I said it. Well, so am I or am I not? You are. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. And that is incredible. Well, and you might say, boy, I sure don't feel like it. Well, you know what? There's days I don't feel like it either. Sure don't act like it. You know what? There's days I don't act like it either. But that doesn't change it. You are born into your family, right? No matter how you act, your last name is the family you're born into, and that does not change. And so it is in Christ, right? Righteousness defined. There's different definitions, but here's one I want to give you. Here you got some blanks. This righteousness, what does it mean? It is the ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt, wow, fear or condemnation, knowing that you are allowed there because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Let me say it again. The ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt, fear, or condemnation, knowing that you are allowed to be there because of Jesus. Now, that you might think, wow, you know, don't get in a pride thing about it. You got to see the last sentence, the last line of the sentence. It's only because of Jesus that we have this. That we have this standing in Christ. So don't get prideful. Oh, wow, I got a right to just march into that throne room and say, hey, God, I want this, this, and this. It's not that at all. We come humbly before him. But he has given you and me this right standing so we can, right? So his righteousness, let her be there. It's a free gift. It is a free gift. We do not earn it. We cannot earn it. It is by faith and faith alone. Yes, as we come to live in Christ, should there be good works that follow and show up in our life? Yes. Amen. But if we're thinking those good works is what's getting us to heaven, that is wrong. Because we can never be good enough in ourselves to deserve heaven. Never. Romans 5:17, Paul said this. This is part of your meditation in the bulletin. For if by the trespass of the one man, that's Adam, going back to Adam in the Garden of Eden, if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned, R-E-I-G-N-E-D, means ruled, death ruled on the planet. Death reigned through that one man, Adam. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift, here it is, of the gift of righteousness, how much more will they, we, reign, R-E-I-G-N, in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Guess what? In Christ, we get to reign in this life. What's that mean? A lot of things, whole lot of things. One thing, just quickly, it means you get to reign, R-E-I-G-N, that means rule over the devil. He does not have dominion over you anymore. You are not his property. You used to be, before you came to know Christ, yeah, you were a part of his kingdom. There's two kingdoms, kingdom of God, kingdom of Satan. Well, I don't think I was possessed. I didn't say you were, or me. But before Christ, that's whose kingdom we're in, right? But now we get to reign over him and over the powers of darkness in Christ, in the name of Jesus. That's why that name is so, so important. It's a gift. And you know what? As I said already, you can't earn that. So you are in Christ, okay? He has made you to be the righteousness of God in him. That also means that you, as God sees you, you cannot become any more righteous in right standing with him than you are right now. Because it's his righteousness. It's not yours, okay? He sees you. That's how he sees you, in perfect right standing with the Father. Does it mean you don't sin? No, I wish it meant that, but it doesn't. In this, there's we call a word, positional truth. That's how we are in Christ. and how he sees us. He sees you as that new creation in him. He sees you in that righteousness, that perfect righteousness that he gave you. That's how God sees each of you. Then that's positional truth. Then there's temporal truth, how we live every day. Do we always live like a new creation? No. Do we always live like we are the righteousness of God in Christ? No, we don't. But there is forgiveness, and this is how he sees every one of you. And that's how you should see yourself as being in Christ, okay? Here, listen to this. God's righteousness. This goes back to Isaiah 61, verse 10, a prophecy come pointing way ahead to the new birth. Isaiah said, I delight greatly in the Lord, and my soul rejoices in my God. Listen to this part. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me. That means covered me or draped me. He has arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. There you have it. He has put on you, like a coat, this robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Okay, let's go on to the next one. What about man's righteousness? That we call self-righteousness. That is self-righteousness. It's all about me. Well, Pastor Mike, you know, yeah, I don't know that I really need Jesus. I mean, I think I'm a pretty good person, actually. Well, you might be. I really don't do anything bad. You know, I don't do this, I don't do that, I haven't murdered anybody, I help people, I do good things. That's all self, self, self. If it's without Jesus, it's what we call self-righteousness. And you know what Isaiah the prophet had to say about that? He said it stinks. Chapter 64, verse 6 of Isaiah. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts, things we try to do without Christ, okay? They are like filthy rags. Filthy rags usually stink. Either they get burnt, thrown away, right? We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. So God sees you as this righteousness in him. It'd be like this. So here we're coming up to prom season, right? Pretty soon in, very early April, I think. The high schoolers know. The girls especially getting all excited about it. Probably already going dress shopping with mom or dad or mom and dad, whatever it is. And you other ones who've been through it, you know how it is. And you're so excited about finding that just right dress that could fit the budget. And then it's maybe, you know, you get just the right haircut and you got just the person who's going to do that and then the makeup and then, oh, you got to have the jewelry that goes with the dress and then you got to have the shoes that go with it all. And as I've said before, I'm glad I'm born a man so I don't have to go through all of that. Just give me the tux and I'm good. Oh, I got to get her a flower. Mom says, you got to get her a flower. Yeah, you got to get her a flower. Okay, But the girls. And so you look beautiful. That's why we love going to the Grand March, right? You're beautiful. And the parents typically go to great lengths to make that happen for you girls, however it happens. And what if on that day you get everything finished and you come out to your mom and dad and all of a sudden the tears start coming down and the makeup, if it's not waterproof, is running and mom says, what's the matter, dear? You're beautiful. And the girl says, I'm not beautiful. And mom says, no, you are. Look at all we did to make this happen for you. You are most beautiful. And she is. I'm saying that to look at the cost and the expense that God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit went to make you and me the righteousness of God in Christ. Incredible expense. So don't say to him that you're not. Are we worthy of it? No, we are not. He knows that. He did it because he loves you that much. In him, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Letter D. We better get there, hadn't we? Why so important to know, that's your blank there, to know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ? Why do I need to know this, Pastor Mike? Couple, two big reasons. One, it gives you confidence. Gives you confidence to know that God hears your prayers. He does. How many times over the years, here and wherever I've been, I've had people come and say, Pastor Mike, I just don't feel like God hears my prayers. You might feel that way. There are times we feel that way, but you got to know he hears them. Just because he's not answering in how you think they should be answered or in the time you think it should be answered does not mean he's not hearing them. He is. And I got three verses here that tell you this because of who you are in Christ, the righteousness of God. 1 Peter 3:12. Listen, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. That's you. James 5:16, the heartfelt, persistent prayer of a righteous man or woman can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. Your prayers, because you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Don't think he's not hearing. Don't think God isn't moving. There's so much going on in the spirit realm and the heavenly realm that we have no clue most of the time the answers to our prayers. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. There you go. It's not on our own goodness. If I had to pray for people based on my goodness, it'd be a sad day. If I had to pray for people based on how I felt at times, I wouldn't do it. But because it's his righteousness and not mine, I do it. Well, you don't know what I did yesterday, Pastor Mike. No, I don't. God does. And if you told him about it and asked for forgiveness, it's washed in the blood. It is washed in the blood and forgiven. And he hears your prayers. Second, just real quick, why we need to know this, it gives us confidence in ministering to other people. Gives us confidence in ministering to other people. How about Peter, one of the 12? Man, he failed. I mean, he was a great apostle. But he failed big time many times. When he walked with Jesus, even denying that he knew the Lord, as Jesus was being whipped and beaten and through that night right before the cross, and Jesus denies him three times, right? And that third time when that rooster crowed, the one of the Gospels said Jesus looked at him, and Peter looked back and he wept bitterly. I think all of us would have too. He couldn't stand up in front of those servant girls, but yet, 10 days later, after the resurrection, day of Pentecost, he's preaching before thousands of people, filled with the Holy Spirit, now the righteousness of God in Christ, now this new creation. And so it works that way for every one of us, for myself included. I still, when I get out of my comfort zone here, I still struggle with that shyness. Maybe you don't notice it. Tomorrow up at a different church doing that service, I'll be a lot more nervous. I'm just telling you, I will be. but I do it in Christ. Last thing, question 60 from our catechism. This says exactly what we're talking about. The question is, how are you right with God? Kids, we were just over this like a week last week. How are you right with God? The answer, only by true faith in Jesus Christ. Even though my conscience accuses me of having grievously sinned against all God's commandments and of never having kept any of them, and even though I am still inclined toward all evil, and we are, even as Christians, we still have, how are we inclined, given towards evil? Because of the nature of the flesh, this body that we live in. We've got to fight against that all of our days. Okay. Nevertheless, without my deserving it at all, out of sheer grace, God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. And this is the cool part. As if I had never sinned or been a sinner. Isn't that amazing? It's how God sees you. And then the second, as if I had been as perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for me. Think about that. Isn't that amazing? All I need to do is accept this gift of God with a believing heart. There you have it. The righteousness of God right in that. Question 60. Go home and read it if you got that at home. Kids, you should have been able to almost say that with me, right? Yes, let's pray. Thank you, Father. You gave us all of this. We didn't deserve any of it. But because of your great love for us while we were still sinners, you died for us and made us to be these new creations, made us to be the righteousness of God in Christ alone. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Number 492 at Calvary. You know it is, in our old hymnals, it was years I spent in vanity and pride. Let's stand as we sing this. Thank you. that says exactly what we've been talking about. Please receive the benediction today. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Remember, Elmer's visitation starts at 1. Go have your lunch and come back and see the family. And service is at 2. Thank you, Cheryl, for the beautiful music.